Welcome to all of you from Eretz Yisrael, from Ramat Beit Shemesh. We're living in very trying times. The Yad Hashem has engulfed the entire world with a terrible maka, a terrible magefa. And one of the very significant elements that should emerge from this is the element of emunah, which of course is the highlight of Leil HaSeder. There is a source sheet that's available, and if you don't mind, I'll be having recourse to that source sheet. The Rambam writes in Perek Zayin of Chametz Matzah, in the lower left-hand corner of the source sheet, Mitzvah Saseh Shel Torah V'Saper B'Nisim V'Niflo Shenasu L'Avoseinu B'Mitzrayim V'Leil Chamishasa B'Nisan. The Rambam formulates the mitzvah, which is Leil HaSeder, a very distinctive, unique mitzvah of telling our children and grandchildren the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. What happened that night? There is another well-known mitzvah that occurs on a daily basis, twice a day, in the context of Kriyat Shema, and that's the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, which we fulfill daily basis, once in the morning, once at night, Kriyat Shema Shel Shacharis, Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis. What are the fundamental distinctions between these two mitzvahs? So I heard from my Rebbe, Haras Soloveitchik Zatzal, on many occasions that there are a number of distinctions between these two mitzvahs. The mitzvah of Sipur, which is unique to Leil HaSeder, and the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim on a daily basis. And he cited his grandfather, HaGaon Rav Chaim Soloveitchik Zatzal, who essentially underscored several salient differences between these two mitzvahs. Number one, the obvious that we just mentioned, the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is operative every day and every night of the year. The mitzvah of Sipur is directly related to Leil Tzvav, as the Rambam himself commented over here in Perek Zayin. The mitzvah is the Saper B'Nisim B'Niflo Shenasa V'Seinu B'Mitzrayim B'Leil Chamishasa B'Nisa. Second distinction, the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is fulfilled with a nominal Zechira, even a fleeting thought, a momentary remembrance, while the mitzvah of Sipur, as the Rambam himself indicates, and as we all know from the Baal Haggadah, on the contrary, this mitzvah demands an elaborate, in-depth analysis. We have to describe all the mosim, all the wonders that Hashem Yisbarach performed for Klal Yisrael, and that's realized in an evolutionary kind of fashion. It's almost a build-up, a sequential kind of discussion, first with our origins, and then ultimately in our glorious destiny, and ultimately coming to Eretz Yisrael. That's the second distinction. Zechira, a Zechira Kol Dehu, a very simple remembrance is sufficient. Sipur requires great elaboration. Three, the mitzvah of Zechira can be realized in solitude. We say Kriyat Shema, each one of us individually, in isolation. The mitzvah of Sipur, by definition, the term lesaper means lesaper la'achirim, to tell others. I narrate the story to others, and I do so in a very specific format, namely, shelo tshuva, question and answer kind of format. And that's what the Torah tells us, as we'll see in a few moments, ki yisholcha bincha macha leimar. If your child asks you, so as a result of the question, ma nishkan halayla azeh v'kal elos, we're obligated to respond, as any parent should respond to the question of a child. That's distinction number three. Distinction four is a halach kind of distinction. The Rambam only counts the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that's rather startling. This mitzvah of Sipur occurs only once a year on Leil HaSeder. Zechira is an ongoing daily mitzvah, and yet the Rambam does not count it in the Minyan Mitzvahs, in his count of the 613 mitzvahs. And number five, which is probably maybe the most significant distinction between Zechira and Sipur. Sipur is not sufficient. One begins to tell the story, one elaborates, one narrates at great length, but then one comes to the part of the Haggadah where the Baal Haggadah says, Lefikach, Anachti Chayavim, Lahodos, Lahalel, Lishabeach, Lefoer. One is obligated to, as a result of Sipur, as a result of re-experiencing vicariously, it's yes, it's right, every Leil HaSeder, we are so transformed and we are so changed that we're ready to say, Hallel, Shevach Lodo to Hashem Yisbarach. So the night of Pesach is endowed with the charisma of its own, and we know that there's one of the simanim of the Seder is Yachatz, we break the matzah, the Gemara calls it Lechem Oni, but Lechem Oni doesn't only mean poor bread, because Ma Dar V'Shaloni B'Prusa, Kam B'Prusa, Oni only has pieces, doesn't have an entire matzah. But the Gemara also says, Ibsochim, Lechem Oni, only from the sense of responding. Lechem, Shaloni Malav Zoram Harbe. And as the term Oni has a dual connotation. On the one hand, it's a bread of affliction, namely, we don't have a showing. On the other hand, it connotes responding to a situation. The moment the matzah is broken, it arouses within us heartfelt yearnings and nostalgia for our past. And suddenly there's a spontaneous outpouring of empathy that we are expressing the plight of our forebears in Mitzrayim. The Lechem Oni, again, is there. But it's not simply a narrative, it's an exercise of Talmud Torah. As the Mishnah writes, in Psochim, Bidoshim Arami Lavi Lavi. We take one parsha, Arami Lavi Lavi, that's found in Kisavo, the parsha Bikurim. Bikurim has two mitzvahs. One mitzvah is to be mafrish Bikurim, to bring it to the Beis Hamikdash, and the other is to recite the parsha of Arami Lavi Lavi, a parsha that is ultimately founded upon all the Rishonim say Hakor Satov, showing gratitude to Hashem Yisbarach, thanking Hashem Yisbarach for all of his beneficence, for all of his benefaction. So therefore we have five distinctions between the mitzvah of Zechira and the mitzvah of Sipur. And in effect, what we are doing on Pesach night, and we're going to do it by examining the Dalet Banim this year, we're undergoing a radical transformation. We begin with Kiddush, and in Kiddush, as you know, in the Kiddush itself, we say, Zechir, that's Yas Mitzrayim. It's one of the elements that's ma'akev in Kiddush. Kiddush requires Zechir, that's Yas Mitzrayim. And from there, we proceed to an elaborate sipur, Lechem Oni. We're embarking on a Pesach night that culminates in Hallel and ultimately Nishmas Kol Chai, the universal shir of all mankind. And on the bite should be the will of Hashem, this coming Seder, that we merit the fulfillment of both elements, Zechira, Sipur, and Halavai, given the specific situation that we find ourselves in, Benisa Nigalu, U Benisa Nasim Ligal. Halavai that this Chodesh Nisan Haba Aleinu, this coming Pesach Haba Aleinu L'Tova, we should be zochah to realize the Gula Shleima, Halavai B'Meher B'Yameinu. So let's now examine the Dalet Banim of the Haggadah, and let's look at the sheet in front of us. You see, three of the children are found in Pasha's bow on your sheet. On the right-hand side, the Rasha. In the middle column, you have the Sheni of the Elisha on the Tam. And then we have the Ben Chacham that's found in Pashas Bais Chanan in the upper left-hand corner. Let's first examine the Ben Chacham. Here the introduction of the Ben Chacham is, Ki Yishocha Bincha Mocha Leymar, if your child asks you, Mocha Leymar, Sachuch HaMishpot Mashet Tzitva Hashem Elokim Esen. And what do you answer? The answer is, as you can see, rather elaborate. You go through the story of what happened in Mitzrayim, we were Abadim, Hashem took us out, tremendous Nisim, Eisim, Eisim, and Hashem performed for us. And the idea was to bring us to Eretz Yisrael, and Hashem commanded us with a slew of chukim, and all this obviously is for our benefit. And halavai we should continue to observe the mitzvahs of Hashem. So the language of the Ben Chacham begins with the question, and I'm sure all of you are familiar with the last Mishnah in Psochim, where the last Mishnah tells us that when the Chacham asks the question, what do you tell him? You tell him all the dinim of Pesach. You tell him the history of Klal Yisrael till the last din. Ematir nachar Pesach avikoman. That after the avikoman, one is not allowed to eat anything after that. So the Chacham introduces himself with a question. We respond to it rather elaborately. Now take a look at the Tam, the middle column. Also preceded by Mazos. The Tam has a language which of course implies that he's somewhat bewildered. It's a very fundamental, basic kind of approach. And we respond to him in turn. Namely, in a brief kind of way, in a pithy kind of way, the Rasha in the right-hand column, notice that he does not ask any question. The Rasha simply, the Torah tells us, the Rasha issues pronouncements. He makes statements. He pontificates. But there's no question on the part of the Rasha. And the Sheni Adel Isha, the middle column, upper section, what we see there is he got until the Bincham. There's no question. He doesn't have the ability to ask. So vis-a-vis, again, three of the Dalet Banim, the Torah describes the dialogue between the parent and the child, the father and the child. In the case of the Chacham, ki yishol cha bincha, v'yamar to the bincha. In the case of the Tam, v'yo ki yishol cha bincha, v'yamar to elav. You respond to him. In the case of the Sheni Adel Isha, does not precede with a question, but rather we respond, v'hagadigar to the bincha. However, to the Ben Rasha, there's something rather striking. The Torah uses Lashon Rabbim, namely, v'hoya ki yomru aleichem b'neichem. All the other cases is Lashon Yachid, there's a dialogue, and with the Rasha, there's no dialogue. And this is also borne out by the Rambam. This I heard a number of times from Asalavetzi Zatzal in Perek Zayin Halacha Beis. The Rambam says here in the left-hand side of the page, mitzvah lo di'a lebonim, afilu lo shalo. There's a mitzvah to inform our children if they don't ask. Of course, that's a reference to the Eni Yodei Lishol. She never began to the mincha. Then the Rambam tells you a very important principle. The fidaito shel ben ovi melamdo. Obviously, chanoch l'nar al pi darko. That's the most important principle in chinuch. Each child is different. Each one of us are markedly different from the other. So we respond to the child in sync with their persona, with their character traits, with their intellectual acuity, with their emotional quotients. It has to be a chinuch that is in sync, that's matim to that particular child. And the Rambam goes on and says, Ketzad, im hoya katan no tipesh, omelo bini kulan hoyin avonim, kemo shivcha zo, o kemo eved zeh b'mitzrayim, and Hashem took us out. Here the Rambam refers to a tam. A bit later, the Rambam says, im hoya haben chacham gadol, modiya mash'avonim b'mitzrayim, v'nisim shenasa adi Moshe Rabbeinu, hakol ufi dait lo shoben. So the Rambam has indicated very clearly this principle of chanoch l'nar al pi darko. However, as I mentioned, if you look in the Rambam's Haggadah, which is the lower right-hand corner, when the Rambam deals with the Rasha, so here the Rambam, even though from the text of the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam does not mention Rasha that we just read in Perek Zayin, the Rambam only mentions three of the children. In the text of the Rambam's Haggadah, in the lower right-hand corner, he mentions all four, Chacham Rasha, Tam, Shein Yodei Lishon. So our Soloveitchik Zatzal noted that in the Parsha in Bo, in the answer to the Ben Rasha, the Torah records, as I mentioned earlier, B'martem Zera Pesach Hashem. And yet in the text of the Haggadah, the response given to the Ben Rasha, take a look at it again in the lower right-hand corner, is the response that emanates from the verse that is cited to the Shein Yodei Lishon. Why would the Baal Haggadah intentionally alter the psukim? And secondly, why does the Rasha warrant a response in the third person? The Baal Haggadah says, if you look at the language of the Rambam, he quotes it, Mo avoda azos lochem, lochem lo lo. And we know what the Baal Haggadah says, Li lo lo, ilo hayosham lo yamnigo. Chas v'shom, had he been there, he would not have been subject to gula, he would not have been redeemed. So why do we respond to the Rasha in the third person? So Rav Soloveitchik said, the answer lies in the terminology that the Torah uses. Vis-a-vis the three sons, as I mentioned a moment ago, the second person is used. With the Chacham, V'yamarta lebincha. With the Tam, V'yamarta elah. with the Sheni Adi Alisho, the Gara to the Mincha, vis-a-vis the Russia, the plural form of Vamartim Zera Pesach is used, and that's why the Bala Goda, as the Rama writes in his text of that Goda, Limu Lo Lo, Ilu HaYasham, Lo Yamnigo, namely, that one cannot dialogue directly with the Russia. Rather, one addresses the Sheni Adi Alisho, and couch in his response is the response to the Russia as well. The Vilna Gaon has a famous comment, and he points out that the query of the Russia, his question, is not so markedly different from that of the Chacham. But there is a fundamental distinction, as I mentioned earlier. The Chacham asks a question, but he wants to know an answer that will be all-encompassing. The Russia does not ask questions. He issues statements. He pontificates. He issues a pronouncement. That's number one. And number two, you'll notice that in the context of the statement of the Russia, the Shem Hashem is not to be found. There is no Shem Hashem in the world of the Russia. And of course, with reference to the Chacham, we have the Shem Hashem is mentioned a number of times, as well as in the context of the other two, Bonim, the Sheni Adi Alisho, the Tam, we have the Shem Hashem. And that's something that, especially we here at Eretz Yisrael, have to be very sensitive to. And not just in Eretz Yisrael, but to Jews all over the world, universally, our main goal is to try to somehow bring out the Shem Hashem and let them see the beauty of Yiddishkeit, the beauty of the Jewish religion, of Shabbos, of mitzvahs, of our values, of our world, Hashkafa, that it should be spread far and wide. And that's really one of the challenges that all of us have, including in Eretz Yisrael. That challenge is no simple challenge by any means. One of the elements of the Russia that's found, again, look in the text of the Rambam, there are two different discourse, but the text of the Rambam is, Ufisha Hotzi Esasim and Aklal Kafa Ba'ikar. What's critical is that we all realize and recognize that Kol Yisrael Arim Zalazeh, we're all one unit. There must be Achdus. And tragically, and unfortunately, sometimes only tragedy and only tsar and only difficulties bring us together. The Gemara says in Megillah, Yidova Hasar Satabas, Yosef Mimem Ches Neviyim, Meshem Neviyos, Yenishnabu Yisrael. The moment Achashverosh gave Haman the signet ring, gave permission to Rachman Litzlam destroy Klal Yisrael, all Klal Yisrael somehow got together. And in a similar vein, now that we are ensconced in the throes of the coronavirus of COVID-19, again, Baruch Hashem, Klal Yisrael comes together, the unbelievable achdus that Klal Yisrael displays. But this achdus has to be displayed not only during a time of siege and sorrow and travail, but has to be displayed Kol Hashem Kula, even during halcyon days when things are calm and the waters are not ruffled. That's something that's critical. So the Russia is taken to task. Why? He's not part of the Tibur. It says in the Mishnah, Pirkei Avos, Al Tifrish Min HaTibur. I'm reminded of a comment of the Ran, who writes, what's the distinction between the Cheder Egel? We know that the Cheder Egel, Hashem Yisbarach, after Moshe Rabbeinu interceded with Hashem Yisbarach to forgive Klal Yisrael, we were forgiven, and we were introduced to the Gimel Midos Shavachanim, Hashem Hashem, Tel Rachim Lechanon, and that is in contradistinction to the Cheder Meraglim, to which we were condemned to wander 40 years in the Midbar. How do you explain the distinction? So the Ran is merames to a very fundamental yesod, and that is, if you take a look at the banner unfurled by both groups, every particular mission or movement, if you will, has some sort of a banner, a slogan, and the Cheder Egel, the Torah tells us, what did they say? Eilo lehechol Yisrael asher helucha ve'eretz Mitzrayim. Of course, mistakenly, according to Rov HaRishonim, they went into a panic mode, and as a result, Moshe Rabbeinu disappeared. They were without a leader. They were rudderless. They were a ship simply at sea without any conductor, as it were, without any captain. But, however, they did agree, Asher HaElucha, the Lashon of Aliyah is used in that slogan. The participants of the Golden Calf were mistaken, they were led astray, but they acknowledged that we left Mitzrayim and they were on a kibun towards Eretz Yisrael. However, the Cheder Maradim was, what was their slogan? Nitzar Roshu Nashuva Mitzrayma. They wanted to cut themselves adrift from their destiny. They wanted to sever their ties from their moorings. And that means they were being motzi esas from the klal. And the Rambam has a famous comment in Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam writes, "Gimel Hilchos Tshuva Halacha Yud Aleph, a porish vidarki at tzibur. If someone separates from the tzibur, avo bishalava averos, even though he's not someone who is involved in any transgression, ela nivdal me'adas Yisrael, he's not part of Klal Yisrael. Einoose mitzvus bichlalon, he doesn't do mitzvus together with Klal Yisrael." He doesn't share in our travail and our tzorah. Wow. The Rambam has identified someone who's Purish Midaki at Sibur as being Chas V'Shalom, the same levels in Apikoris as Amin, even though he didn't do any Aveira. That itself is something which is absolutely tragic. So now we have the Rasha who is Hotzi Asasim in our cloud, is not part of the Sibur of Klal Yisrael. And that's something which is absolutely unconscionable. Let's go back to the four sons overall. The Rambam also has part of this in the lower right-hand corner. The Baal introduces the Dalai Banim in the following way. Baruch HaMokom Baruch Hu. Baruch Shana Santor Adam Yisrael Baruch Hu. Wow, what a statement. Why is the Baal HaGadol somehow so ecstatic? Why does he become so excited? Why is he praising Hashem Yisbarach, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, Baruch Shana Santor Adam Yisrael, before he introduces the Dalai Banim? And the answer is very fundamental. Namely, there's a central motif, a central theme in Judaism. Every Jew has a share. There's no distinction between a great Talmud Chacham and someone who's a simple Jew. The Gemara says in Brachos Daf Yud Zayin, and the Gemara reflects this idea. The Gemara has the comment, Margalei Gepumin, the Rabbanon de Yavne, that the Chachmei Yavne had the following statement, which they often articulated, Ani Briya, V'chaveri Briya, and Rashi says, I who am involved in the study of Torah, I'm an important person, V'chein Chaveri Amaretz Briyahu, and even my Chaver, who may not be so lettered, so scholarly, he's also a Briya. Ani Mashkin Limlachti, I get up to work, he gets up to work, he doesn't impinge on what I do, I don't impinge on what he does, that I'm better than he is, because I'm a great Torah scholar, says the Gemara Chas V'Shalom. The man who was not blessed by Hashem Yisbarach with a great mind, but who extends a sincere effort, is recognized as equal, even a great Torah scholar. There's a separate text. There's a separate approach. There are different gishot. One gisha for a great Talmud Chacham. One gisha for someone who's, at the other end, a simple person. And even a gisha for someone who seemingly is outside the pale, outside Michutz HaMachane, a skeptic, an agnostic. Every Jew is possessed of sparks of greatness. And one does not know when these dormant qualities will emerge. The Navi Yechezkel tells us, Baruch Kvod Hashem Mimkomo. We say this in the davening. And so too here, the Baal HaGadol says, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. We're all in the embrace of Hashem Yisbarach. Just like no one can escape the presence of Hashem, who is omnipresent, so too the Torah was given to every single Jew. And the language of HaMakom usually refers to Hashem Behester, as Soloveitchi pointed out, as we say, God forbid, when we have Menachem Avil, Hamokim Menachem Eschem B'toch Shabbat L'tzir B'Shaloyim, because in the Beis Avil, the Beis Hadin seems to be hovering, and there's no Gilui upon him, there's Hester upon him, and then when we say Hamokom, as Chazal comment, Hu Mekomo Shalolam, Be'en Olam Mekomo, not always do we see Hashem in his full glory and splendor. As for example, now, ensconced in the coronavirus, there's unquestionably a Midas Hadin that is being directed to the entire world. But no one can escape Hashem Yisbarach. The Torah was given to all Jews, irrespective of their intellectual acuity, of the socioeconomic level. It's perhaps even more important to tell the story of Pesach to a simple child and a great mind. Hashem embraces the entire world, just as a mother embraces all her children. So I want to point out that in the context of the Ben Chacham, that you see in the upper left-hand corner, There's a verb that occurs a number of times, a very significant verb. And that is the term tzivui. When we say a bracha, we make a bracha asher kedushanu b'mitzvaso v'tzivanu. The tzivui Hashem is that which, in effect, obligates us to carry out the mitzvahs. And just to underscore this, take a look at the Ben Chacham in the upper left-hand corner, and you'll see the term tzivui is found three times in that context. Namely, it mentions Asher tzivu Hashem Elokeinu Eschem in the first pasuk, in the question posed by the Chacham. A bit later, in pasuk of Dalud, Vayitzaveinu Hashem Lasos Kol Achukim Ve'eve, and finally at the end, the last few words that we're going to carry out all the mitzvahs of Hashem Elokeinu Kasher Tzivonu. If you look in the lower left-hand corner in Pasha Shmini, in the Chet of Nadav Avihu, we know the Torah tells us that they died in the very context, in the very ambience of the Chanukah Samishkan, and it was very tragic for Aaron HaKohen and his family. And the pasuk says, "Vayichu b'nei Aaron Nadav Avihu ish machtaso, vayitnu b'hem esh, vayasimu le'a kitores, vayakrivu l'nei Hashem esh zoro asher lo tziva osam." I bracketed the language of Asher lo tziva osam. Whatever the chet was, Chazal have many, many comments on what the nature of the chet was. But Rashi Zatzal explained it in an incredibly beautiful way. There are two ways that a Jew can be an Oved Hashem. And it's relevant to our generation, to a large extent, this Yisod as well. A Jew could simply surrender to the will of Hashem. The Torah commands us do X and do Y. We carry it out. We don't fully connect with it. We don't fully relate to it. We don't fully feel that somehow this particular mitzvah speaks to me. I like mitzvah X and not mitzvah Y. I would like to choose and pick that which is somehow in sync with my personality, with my character traits, with my mood, whatever it may be. But that's not what a proper Jew does. You carry out the Tzivui Hashem, and then hopefully in the course of carrying out the Tzivui Hashem, you'll be elevated by the mitzvah. You'll be somehow enamored of the mitzvah. Person, and Leila Seder, eats matzah. Perhaps one is not enamored of matzah, one prefers to have a rather different type of food item that's going to be presented to them. But I eat the matzah because the Torah says, Barat Tochlu Matzos. But in the course of plumbing the depths of matzah and trying to understand what's behind it, and a person who learns Torah and a person who delves into the mitzvah, after a while, a person might be incredibly elevated by what the matzah represents. The lachanoni aspect, but the Zohar calls the michla, the mehemusa, the matzah of the emuna, or in other terms of the Zohar, michla the misnisa, a matzah that can actually cure, that is a merape. So we talk about someone who starts out doing a mitzvah as a tzivui, and then it can become a great experience. It began as a divine discipline, but a mitzvah is not just a perfunctory action. A mitzvah also has to be a great experience, has to be experiential in nature. We know what the pasuk says in the Tachacha, Hashem takes us to task. The key is to do a mitzvah with great simcha, with great joy, with great excitement, with effervescence, with all the energy that one could possibly muster, with all the vitality that one could possibly bring to bear. So how did I begin? I began with a tzivui, with a tzav, but then the tzav translates itself into a very ennobling, transcendental, unbelievably miragish kind of experience. Person fasts on Yom Kippur. I'm not too happy about fasting. I prefer to have Ben and Jerry's ice cream. All of Yisrael. So now a person goes ahead and fasts because the Torah says V'yidisem. And then in the course of Yom Kippur, I begin to realize and to recognize the power of the day, the charisma of Yom Kippur. Wow. Be'etzem ha'yom hazeh. The day becomes so beautiful. The day is a cathartic, cleansing kind of experience. The day is metaher. The day is mechaper. And all of a sudden, I'm transformed to an ecstatic, illuminating, cathartic, metaher, mechaper kind of experience. So there are two ways to Do it. One is the Torah way. You start with the Tzav, with the Tzivri Hashem, and then hopefully you become transformed and you derive ecstasy, or you do it the other way, which Asalechik termed the pagan way. What is the pagan way? That a person tries to go ahead and almost create an ecstatic kind of experience for himself. I want to somehow connect with ecstasy. And sometimes people use all types of even other elements, which of course are not ideal, whether it's drugs, chas v'shalom, alcohol, chas v'shalom. So now one is ki'ilu, happy. One has now transformed himself, a kind of happiness. And then one thinks that one is going to carry out the Tzivri Hashem from that context. But that is ceremonial in nature. Instead of going from command to experience, you want to go from experience to command. And that's much more difficult. And therefore, undoubtedly, the Torah wants us to dafka, not begin with great excitement, because often things that begin with great excitement end with disillusionment, and with avera, and with transgression, and that's the modern approach. I take a drug, I am euphoric. And now, shall we say, in the upper spheres, and often that leads to, as I mentioned, futility and a lot of disappointment. That's the pagan approach. So Chazal take another Ravir to task. According to one opinion, Shtuya Yayin Yitzisu L'Migdash, he entered the Migdash in a state of Shichus, a state of intoxication, and undoubtedly these are great tzaddikim. But here Chazal are trying to give us a very fundamental lesson, and one can actually see this as well on the sheet. If you look in the middle section of the bottom column, looking for Parshas Pekudei, when Chazal tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu went ahead and all that which is described in Truman Tetzaveh is carried out in Parshas Pekudei, there's one expression that occurs and recurs many times. Each time one of the elements of the Mishnah was put together, the Torah says, Kasher Tzivu Hashem as Moshe. Moshe carried out the Tzav Hashem. And that's exactly the same yisod, the Fiyan Yisdaiti, that applies to the Ben Chocham. He's willing to surrender to Hashem Yisbarach, and that explains in the upper left-hand corner the three-time usage of the term Tzivui. Asher Tzivu Hashem Elokeinu Eschem, that's critical in the context of the Ben Chocham, and it's critical for all of us to begin by surrendering to Hashem Yisbarach, surrendering to the will of Hashem, carrying out the Ratzon of Hashem, even though I don't connect, I don't relate, it's difficult, why is it something that I'm obligated to do? I recognize that the overall enterprise is one which is absolutely phenomenal. And even though I don't understand all the pieces and all the segments and all the elements, but I surrender, and in the course of time, a person will see the beauty of Torah and Mitzvahs in an incredible way. But I began with tzivui, with surrender, and ultimately it becomes a great experience, a romance that I have with Hashem Yisbarach and with the Torah and Mitzvahs. One of the elements that's mentioned in the Agadah, if you recall, in the middle of the Agadah, this may be the most significant section of the Mishavruah Paskins, the Mishnah, Rav Gamliel HaYomer, that we have to accentuate three mitzvahs halayla, Pesach, Matzah, Omorah, and then we have two texts that explain the Pesach, explain the Matzah, explain the Morah. There are two nuschos. One nusach says Pesach al Shumma, Matzah al Shumma, Morah al Shumma, and the other text, which the Rambam has, not al Shumma, but al Shemma. The difference between Shum and Shem, and Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal often pointed out that these are two different types of questions. There's one question we're not permitted really to ask, namely the why question. Why did Hashem decide to take the mitzvah of Hakel, when all Klal Yisrael gathered together, and that mitzvah is performed when? Motzei Shemitah of Sukkos. That's a question we cannot answer. Hashem is Baruch so decided. It's a Gzeiras HaKosov. It's a Pasuk Yechumish. What question are we, yes, allowed to ask and should ask? What is the nature of that mitzvah? What is the Musa Haskel? What should we derive from the mitzvah of Hakel? The what question is a question we are duty bound to answer. What's the significance of the mitzvah of Hakel? What are its parameters? What message is being conveyed by Hashem Yisbarach? That is a question which should be asked in Kol HaTorah Kula. And therefore, there's a distinction between al-shumma, al-shema. One is, in effect, as I mentioned, al-shema, and al-shema, we're asking, what's the quintessence of the symbolism of Pesach Matzah Mara? We're not asking Hashem why he introduced Pesach Matzah Mara, but we want to understand what's behind it. And therefore, unquestionably, Pesach, al-shum shel Pesach, Ribbono shel Olam, in his infinite chesed, infinite kindness, the coming Pesach, Klal Yisrael is saved, and we become the Am Hashem that is saturated with emunah, that Klal Yisrael displayed when we left Mitzrayim, when we were told to shech the coming Pesach, even though this is the God of Egypt. Hey, Nisbach is Torah Vas Mitzrayim, and below Yisgalunu, the Pasuk. So this required a considerable degree of emunah. And unquestionably, the coming Pesach, similar to the Matzah Maror, is totally undergirded by emunah. And that's why the Bahag, one of the great Rishonim, did not enumerate emunah in his list of 613 mitzvahs. And for this, he was taken to task. But the Ramban defends the Bahag, as he's wont to do, because emunah is the prerequisite for all mitzvahs. It's the cornerstone. Without emunah, we basically can't even go further. Emunah is the very foundation for all Tariq mitzvahs. And therefore, Ramban says, emunah means, Nachasuach lefonai v'naseh ritzoni, I surrender to the will of Hashem. And that's, as I said, is essentially the main yisod of the Ben Chacham. And so we have a number of distinctions, and I want to just point out again another distinction that I think is very significant and is highlighted when you examine the three sons as opposed to the Ben Rasha. In the case of all three sons, namely the Chacham, the Tam, Sheni Yodea Lishol, the Torah speaks about Eretz Yisrael. We're traveling in Eretz Yisrael, as we know, the Pasuk says, Hashem carries us, I can't finish showing. Undoubtedly, you remember that Rechov, that street, that well-known street, Kamp in Yisharim. I'm sure you found yourselves there from time to time. A lot of wonderful stores, a lot of boutique places. So Hashem carries out this Kamp in Yisharim pasuk. But with reference to all the psukim, or all the banim, we have Eretz Yisrael that's featured centrally. However, when it comes to the Rasha, there the Torah uses a different language. Not because the secular Jew enters Eretz Yisrael unencumbered by the baggage of Jewish history. He doesn't see the Yad Hashem operating. His ascent is a kind of personal jaunt, a lonely venture, unrelated to Amasora. He doesn't recognize the rich Jewish historical experience. His quest is often founded upon the thirst for material pursuit, material gain, and that could often result as disgruntlement, disillusionment, and to him, the wide sandy beaches of Tel Aviv are more alluring and more enticing than the rocky crags of Har Yehuda. He doesn't relate to the Kaisal HaMarabi. It's not his thing. It's not, shall we say, that which he connects with, but we, of course, are connected to Eretz Yisrael, Dafka, through the Makom HaMikdash. We're connected to Eretz Yisrael through Avraham Avinu, Sarah Imenu, Kumi Sadech Boretz, L'Arko L'Rachma, Kilechad Nena. And our message, of course, is a message of connection to Hashem Yisbarach. We have indeed a romance with Hashem Yisbarach, a romance with the Almighty, a romance with the Torah, a romance with the mitzvahs. And the secular Jew, perhaps epitomized by the Rasha or the Balagoda, he's essentially rejected that. He has no roots in the past and therefore no nexus to the future. No eschatological vision of Eretz Yisrael. And that vision is, of course, very much significant. And that's why, with reference to all the Dalabanim, Ba'ayaki Biacha Hashem, Hashem came, when it comes to the Russia, the Torah does not have that. Ba'ayaki Sabo El Ares, they're coming on their own. No baggage, no Jewish history, no Tanakh, no Rambam. No Torah Shabbat, they're all quite important, but that's exactly what our obligation is. And then I'll say there in general, we're obligated to go ahead and present the majesty of Jewish history and all of its pageantry. And that's something that we have to somehow get across. And of course, Hashem is Baruch is waiting for all of us on the night of Leil HaSeder. On this charismatic night of Leil HaSeder, we're not only obligated to convey to our children a normative divine discipline, and that's primarily seen in the Ben Chacham, but at the same time, we have to demonstrate the wonderful regesh, the experience, the heightened emotion of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the connection to our Masorah, to our illustrious heritage. And as I mentioned earlier in the Shir, the Rabbi uses the language of the Fidaito Shoveng of the Melamdo. Limud is, of course, cognition, intellectual, cerebral. On the other hand, we know there's a second verb that the Rambam also uses. Name the Rambam says here, mitzvah lehodiyah lebonav. It's a totally different mandate. What does the language of lehodiyah conjure up? It conjures up, in my mind, a pasuk by Schanan, but the Torah tells us the obligation of every parent to convey to a child not just the normative, obligatory element of mitzvahs and the like, but rather, vodatam livanecha avlivanecha. We're obligated to transmit, as Ramban writes in Chumash and Sefer Mitzvos, the Masera of Klal Yisrael. Not just the Masera of Kiyum HaMitzvos, but the Masera, says the Ramban, of the Eish of Sinai. The Ahor Borei Ba'esh. The Torah describes Maimon HaSinai as enveloped by a fire. That's the regesh, that's the emotion that we have to convey to our Talmidim, to our children. The Ramban counts this as one of the mitzvahs that the Rambam forgot to count. And the Ramban writes, what exactly is the nature of this pasuk? Mitzvah lodia v'bonov, as the Rambam says here, says the Ramban, ki limud emunah satera hi atera atzma. Man Torah wasn't simply an academic experience, but preeminently an experience of kol atzmei saitei ma'anu Hashem yikamecha. The fire of Torah, the regesh, the emotion of Torah, as a purging agent, brought about a metamorphosis of Knesset Yisrael. The Eish HaTorah, the Kodesh of Brokim, that's the ultimate experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So there are really two elements of Yetzias Mitzrayim. One is a story, a saga, but that automatically precipitates a profound, didactic, learning kind of experience. And of course, that involves a dialogue with our children, with our grandchildren, with all Klal Yisrael. Uliman tisapia biyazde bincha, biyazde bincha, es asher savalti b'mitzrayim, yes, also say asher samti bom. It's a linking of many generations. And of course, it's the past, it's the present, and the ultimate eschatological future. It's a story of emuna, founded upon our unconditional and unqualified commitment to Hashem Yisbarach, based on the tzibui, based on the command. In short, it's an ecstatic longing to embrace Hashem Yisbarach, who hopefully, bekarov, will help us realize the divine promise of Eveisi Eschem El Haaretz, Hashem Nososi Es Yodi, Loseis, Oysa L'Avraham, Yitzchak L'Yaakov, V'nasati Oysa L'Chem, Meirasha, Ani Hashem. We are, as you all know, ensconced right now in this, as I mentioned, terrible magefa. And undoubtedly, to my mind, this magefa is really an exercise in profoundly and deeply accentuating and bringing out the emuna that a Jew has to have in the Ribbono Shel Olam. It is so uncanny to me that the Yad Hashem, in one fell swoop, engulf the entire world with a makas, dever of sorts, a magefa that is absolutely unparalleled. In my lifetime, I've never seen anything like it. It is so remarkable what Hashem has done. So often we tend to think that the President of the United States is directing traffic, The Prime Minister of Russia is directing traffic, and we are directing traffic. With our waves, we navigate all the shoals. We've achieved some unbelievable aristocratic and technological achievements that are mind-boggling, all of us. Matter of fact, the other night I pointed out that Hashem Yisbarach created the Trufa Kedem Amaka, the technology, so we can connect with each other as we're doing right now. We can learn Torah together. We can literally sympathetic, vicarious kind of experience that we're all having, Ima Anochi B'tzara, trying to help Klal Yisrael and trying to help ourselves. And this is an excellent. This virus underscores the Yad Hashem is essentially everything. Eino Milvado. We're not in control. We have the greatest doctors in the world, the greatest scientists in the world, and they're all stymied by one little microvirus that is absolutely infinitesimal in terms of its basic dimensions. The other night I heard Hagoyim, the Avashavai Shlita, he compared this virus to the Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara tells us about Tita Sarasha. The Gemara calls him Ben Menoy Shalaitzev Arasha, the Roman well-known personality who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, Lo Aleinu, and he told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you're so strong, come with me here by Abasha, do battle with me, on my terms. And the Baruch Hashem said, okay, and a yitush, a small mosquito, landed in his nostrils, and that mosquito, wow, devastated Tita Sarasha. It pecked away till it reached his brain, and ultimately, of course, his demise. He thought he would take on the Rebbeinu Shalom. And here we have a microvirus that's, I don't know how many times smaller than this Yitush, but look at the unbelievable, jarring, terrible impact that this has had on the world at large and Klal Yisrael as well. So what is our obligation during these times of Fiat Yus 90? Whenever there's a Magefa, we have to do introspection. We have to do a careful cheshbon ha-nefesh, each one of us individually, Klal Yisrael collectively. And to my mind, I am not able to put my finger on what exactly is the cause of this, but I know the Gemara in Devamis. Ein Puranus Bado Elam El Bishul Yisrael, that when Hashem punishes, it's primarily a meser, a warning, a message to Klal Yisrael. We have to take heed. We have to examine our behavior. The Gemara tells us that, and this is Aran, who comments in the Drashas Aran. He writes that first Hashem will plague the nations of the world far away from us, but if we don't take heed and don't see the Musa that's directed to us, then it gets closer and closer and closer, and ultimately we are engulfed by it as well, and we know what's happening throughout the world. Many, many wonderful, outstanding tzaddikim and tzidkonios, wonderful, righteous Jews, men, women, children, are being terribly impacted by this coronavirus, by this COVID-19, and therefore behooves us to make a cheshbon ha-nefesh, each one of us individually. And I think the most important area besides Talmud Torah, which of course is critical, Torah, the Gemara says, Magno Matzah has the ability to protect us. However, more significant than that, to my mind, is chesed. We have to become bali chesed par excellence. We have to do and engage in acts of kindness. And we know the Gemara says in Satan, Daf Yudalud, Mahu Apata, Mahu Mevake Cholim, Apata Tevake Cholim, Mahu Menachem Aveilim, Apata Tenachem Aveilim, Imitati Odeh. We emulate the attributes of Hashem Yisbarach, and Chazal tell us that if we do chesed milmata, chesed that's done downstairs, will have a reciprocal effect. Lamala, upstairs in Shmei Shamayim, Chesed Milmata, Mora Chesed Milmala. And therefore, if we become practitioners of Chesed par excellence, learn to each other more wholesomely, and even those that we're not so happy about and we don't get along so well with, let us overlook all of these petty items, all the silliness in light of this unbelievable Magefa that we're being subjected to. There's no question, there's a message. I'm not a Navi. Lo Navi Anochi, v'lo Ben Navi Anochi. U'v'chol zos, I know that if Klal Yisrael practices chesed at the highest of levels, will be able, Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach Halavai, that this will serve as a potent weapon that we have, besides Talmud Torah, and besides Tila, those are critical, those are very significant. But ultimately, if we practice chesed with each other and bind ourselves together in a show of achdus, of unbelievable unity, that achdus, Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, should be hopefully able to go before the Kisei HaKavod, before Hashem Yisbarach, and we will ask Hashem Yisbarach, please be merape all the Chol Yisrael, be merape all the Cholim, the Umas HaOlam, the nations as well, and the Ribbono Shel Olam, in his beneficence, in his ultimate kindness, will respond to our chesed, and Be'ez Hashem, the Magefa will end, hopefully as soon as possible, and B'Leil HaSeder, we should be Zocher already, B'Nisa Nigalu, B'Nisim Asinu L'Goyel, Halavai, Ribbono Shel Olam should bring about Soros Tovos, Yeshuas V'Nechamos, Bikur of Mamish, Amen V'Amen. Thank you very much for the opportunity, for being mezakeh me.